Hi, everyone. My name's Vinita Bimbet, and I'm a consultant, the India chair for Flow IAWBF and the former president of FICCI Flow. So research shows all of us that women in economic spheres set a motion of a series of positive effects for their children, their families, and their communities at large. And yet the MasterCard Index of women entrepreneurs shows that 7 out of 100 entrepreneurs are women. So today I have here with me a wonderful panel. We have Kairavi Bharathram in the pink, founder and CEO at Tipsy Beauty, board member SRF Foundation, and an author of 4 books. Welcome, Kairavi.
Thank you.
You set up Tipsy Beauty 2 years ago, right? Challenges, prejudice, difficulties, resources, access to information. Let's hear something from you.
So I started working on my business when I was just 21 years old. And I'm in the beauty industry, and I've been very lucky to be in an industry which is actually female dominated. It's one industry where women are not the minority. And that has been honestly really amazing to experience. But I did face different kinds of prejudice. And I think one that I faced was because of my age. And as a young girl, getting into makeup, it sounded like something that was just a hobby. And, you know, and people thought that being so passionate about makeup made me frivolous and just not taking things seriously. And people didn't realize that you could actually have a career in makeup without being a makeup artist. So being young and not having any experience in the corporate world, of course, did work against me. But in a way, people saw my passion and they believed in me for that. And that's what I'm very grateful for. Also, when I wanted to do this, a beauty brand is a very capital intensive business. And I went out to my dad and I said, I want to start a business and I need some money because, of course. And he actually, I was totally, totally taken aback when he said that, no, I will not give you money. I don't understand this space and I am not ready to take this chance. And I think somewhere even he probably didn't realize that I was serious about this. And he told me, until you get an external investor, I will not invest in this business, which was a huge blow. And eventually I went and I got people to connect me. And, you know, I had no experience. So it wasn't VCs, it was angels and friends and family. And the first person that I spoke to told me, I don't invest in well-off kids. It's a rule that I have. And it's just, I don't believe that they can have the same fire in their belly as someone who doesn't have a backup plan and someone who can't afford for this to fail. And I have had a lot of mental health struggles in the past, and this business, this idea gave me a lot of purpose. And I turned back and told him that I can't afford to fail either. This is what wakes me up in the morning, and maybe I won't be on the road if it fails, but I can't afford for this to fail either. And that was a prejudice that I faced that I never expected. But in terms of being a woman, I really feel fortunate for the industry that I'm in. And I wish more industries could be like this. And in fact, it's sometimes the other way, where I always say that I want to hire women only. And I realize that that's not being very equal either.
So you're very inclusive, because you also have a men using makeup, and a lot of your advertising campaigns show transgenders or men in makeup. So I have to...
I think makeup shouldn't be about your gender. And I also think that being a woman is not just what you're born as. Some of us are born as women and some of us discover it later. And they're equally women, just like all of us. So I like to give a chance to anybody who enjoys makeup, who wants to be part of it, because that's what equality is. It's not just about proving that we are better. That's not feminism in my mind. It's about all of us being equal.
Very well said. And I'm going to take something that you said about the prejudices, because it's a new one that he didn't want to invest in rich kids. So Anisha, sitting in the white suit, is the founder of She Capital, which is a female-focused venture capital firm. and she funds amazing startups, and she also has this wonderful network for female founders. She is the ex-CEO and founder of MyDala.com. She's the jury president, South Asia, for Cartier Women's Initiative. So she has a very interesting story. She wears both hats. She's an entrepreneur and a venture capitalist. So tell us something about when you started off as an entrepreneur. What was the prejudice you faced?
Well, I started in 2009. I started in 2004. In the tech space, I came back to India, did the first company, sold it. But I didn't know anything about VC funding then. I actually didn't know you could just go out, you know, say on a mythical plan and raise money. So I wish I'd known that then with my first company, because I would have tried that. My second company, I moved back in 2009 again. And I started an internet company called MyDala. Now, the timing was interesting because not only was I one of the first few female internet founders, I was also definitely the first pregnant female internet founder that a lot of investors had seen in the ecosystem. So I think it was a double shock for a lot of people. But interestingly, I mean, it's been an interesting journey. You know, they say as founders, somebody said this and I gave them a dirty look, but I actually believe this. They said founders have to be too dumb to die, all right? And what they meant by that was you don't have to listen to everything that comes your way. And that's the only way to survive, because you're going to get so much stuff as founders. As female founders, you're going to get double off that. So I think you really have to be too dumb or horse with blinders on and just have your goal and work towards it. And so I didn't realize that time the stuff that was being said, you know, people, investors would walk my co-founders out and say, well, she's pregnant, she's going to go. So, you know, if you become the CEO, we'll fund it. Fortunately, I had a great set of co-founders, but I think it all came back, right? You have to pay back what was bestowed on you. And I think the ecosystem was very kind to me. We grew and grew really well. And it was my turn to pass it back on. And so 2018, and I had two daughters by then. So I had clearly raised enough money while being pregnant. So it just felt like we needed to do what we needed to do. So in 2018 is when I told my investors I'm going to move away and start She Capital. And that's the genesis of She Capital. And even when I started She Capital, by the way, it's not been an easy ride. This is my third venture. I say it's the toughest thing I've done is tell somebody I want to raise for gender, that we are going to do a gender fund. Because you know what? The first time I went out to raise, everybody's like, what a such a great cause. You know what that makes us? A cause. We're not a cause. Women are not a cause. So I hate that. And from that day, I told my entire team, take off two words off the deck. Take off cause. There should never be any cause. And I hate the word empower. I can't stand that word. Because nobody needs to empower us. Nobody. We're powered. I hate that word. So those two things, basically, as She Capital, we're trying to change and prove. And we've done that. We gave actually the quickest cash exit back to our investors, which Clovia to Reliance, in one of the largest all-cash fashion deals. So we're proving that women are actually great business.
Kudos to you. You've really done very well and changed the landscape for women VCs. I'm now coming to our third panelist, Aarti Gupta. She is the Chief Investment Officer for DM Gupta and for DBR Ventures. She's also the National Head for Fiki Flow Startup Cell. She's an independent director for Jindal Stainless, and she's one of the top 50 women investors in our country. Now, Aarti's done an amazing job, and before we get into what else they've done, I'd like her to talk to us about the struggles she had in her family business venture to become the Chief Investment Officer. Aarti.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Vinita. So my story is, I think, very relatable to a lot of women in India. You know, I went to this Ivy League college, got a great education in the US, 6 years in Boston, all ready to come back to India, and got married. And got married into a typical Banya family, you know, traditional family business, huge media business. But I was suddenly at loss of what do I want to do, you know, because we are not wired to think beyond marriage, like, you know, the way society or our, we've been groomed. So I actually joined our family business into the radio in a ceremonious marketing position with my husband. My husband's very progressive, family is progressive, but joined in a role where I was not enjoying it. But then I started looking into, my father-in-law was struggling with his money and finances, and I slowly started looking into managing his money. And it's taken 14 years to kind of set up a full-fledged family office. And trust me, coming from a privileged background as well, with all access from the family, I faced a tons of biases, but from the banker side. Like, I remember meetings where I used to have bankers, like, you know, reach out to my father-in-law or husband or the male members of the family and say that we have this products, and then they would say, speak to Aarti, she's looking into this. They would come and pitch to me, and then they would go back to my father-in-law and say, what have you decided? Like, and trust me, he had to actually put his foot down and say, I will sign where she says, for them to kind of take me seriously. So I think whether we like it or not, the game is rigged. You know, there is a lot of biases. And personally, I feel when I started investing into startups, I feel while we're empowering entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in general, there has to be a whole lot of effort to create women or investors on the other side of the table, like, you know. So I'm a big believer of creating an ecosystem of not just entrepreneurs, but also investors.
So tell us something. What have you done? Because I know that you're very passionate about this. So what is it that you've done for women to create women?
Absolutely. You know, I feel in life, you get what you have the courage to ask for. And a lot of us women don't have the courage to kind of say, I want to learn startup investing. I want to manage money. I want to look after my own money or the family's money. I will be part of the decision-making process. So we're doing this thing where we're training women. We've got a huge network at Fiki Flow of 9,000 plus women as members. We're reaching out to them and training them in masterclasses for angel investing. And I have this brilliant statistic, something which I'm very proud to share. So in India, there are 12,000 angel investors and 1% of them are women. That's about 100, 120. Last week, we certified 93 new women as angel investors. So something I'm extremely, extremely proud of. In fact, Priyanka, who's part of my team, is sitting here in the audience, who is part of organizing this program. So I think we really need women investors in order to kind of correct for this bias which exists in the industry.
Anisha, I wanted to ask you, you know, business founded by women earn twice as much revenue per dollar. I mean, that's a well-known research. And I know that you've got some innovative ways to share information because there is a paucity of access to information, even for women founders. Have you got any ideas? Have you... Yeah. Set you know, up something.
Before that, I just want to say hats off, Aarti, because what you did. And this kind of answers and tailgates into this question. So I also, along with doing the fund, we realized that just kind of reaching out and helping our portfolio companies was not really, it wasn't really making a dent. And that's not how we set out to do this, right? We actually wanted to change or help the ecosystem at large, the female founder ecosystem at large. And so we started doing a couple of things. One was we put together a WhatsApp group that disseminates information. Every day it puts out something on a loan, grant, everything. There's about 1,200 founders on it. That was for female founders because we just didn't want them to miss anything. The second we did was we put together a buy invite event. It's very selective, but it gets together 200 female founders along with leading investors like Sequoia and everybody under one roof for 36 hours. And the idea is so that not only do you network with investors in an informal environment, you actually end up finding your own kind because women find it hard to find their own kind. And after that, we've had so many women reach out to us and say, my God, it's so amazing what you've done because, you know, I got into the Sequoia Spark program or I, got investment for this from this one or I actually met a female founder and now she's inaugurating my, you know, this particular thing. It's just been brilliant. But one of the things that we wanted to do, which is a passion project, is we actually said, hey, we're also going to see how many women actually control their finances, something that you were talking about. And we really want women to do this. And you'll see, we went around polling banks, right, and asking. And we came to know there's only two things that change. Nobody manages their finances, women in general, and not just in India, in general. The two things that change that is two Ds, death and divorce. The minute any of those happen, women start managing their finances. Before that, they're oblivious to it. And so we actually ended up doing so many panels last year. We're doing them this year together as well, which focus on this, that kind of ask women to take control, even as startup founders, right? We kind of just assume when women come and pitch to me, it's so annoying. It makes me cringe. And I've been guilty of this too. I actually will talk everything. And then when it comes to finances, I turn to my co-founder or my CFO. As an investor now sitting on this side, that is the most cringeworthy thing that happens, because you want to know that the person who's going to run the business actually knows about finances. And I know we women know our finances. You know, we manage everything, but I don't know what it is. We just won't talk to them in a formal setting. We're just so scared of doing it. That needs to change, and that needs to change for all of us at large. I've had to make a conscious effort, and I think it's time we all start doing that.
So now, you know, I think the female economy is here, and women have been managing finances. I mean, they manage their kitchens, they help their mothers, who run the homes, who make sure there's enough for everyone. So there's no question, and there's no doubt in my mind that we can manage our finances. Now, what I want to ask all three of you, but maybe I can start with Aarti. It is set up to scale up is the name for our session. What is it that you look in a business to give funding? And especially a woman, would you, if things being equal, or would you give preference to a woman based, or a woman pitching for funds? What is it that you look for?
So Vinita, at the very core of it, you know, the way the ecosystem is efficient. So money will pour where there is merit. There is no doubt about it. So at the very base, fundamentally, you need a good idea, a product or a service which is solving a real problem for a large enough market. Also, with a great team which is able to execute that idea. So that is regardless of your gender, caste, geographical location. This is the basis of where money will pour, you know. Having said that, we've all recited numbers that there is a bias which exists in the industry. It's human nature. You kind of tend to relate with people who are like you. And that is why, because VC industries is or has traditionally been a boys' club, they tend to relate with men, you know. They understand when they're pitching something, they understand, they relate. On similar grounds, would I fund a startup just because it's a woman startup? No. But I do understand femtech is one of the areas which I'm passionate about, because I relate to those problems. When a female founder comes and says, you know, I'm creating something for PCOS or IVF, I understand what that problem is because I've dealt with it. A man is not going to understand that problem because he's not dealt with it. So that is where I think our unconscious or subconscious biases come into play.
Because I know we have invested in similar businesses, and unfortunately the last few have all been with male founders. Maybe I should move to Anisha. Anisha, you are a venture capitalist. Now, say, not Kerevi, but if anyone came to you for the Series A or pre-Series A or Series B funding, what is it that you look for? I mean, there are a lot of youngsters here who, you know, are looking for some answers. Many of them might be budding entrepreneurs, but you also specialize in, you know, latter funding. So what is it that you look for?
You know, I sit on a weird double-edged sword, right? There are females and female founders who started with me who say, why do we need this? Why do you need this funding thing, right? Why do we need this gender lens? This fund that you're running is just a farce, right? Okay, that's what their thought is. And then there's the others who are like, it's really needed. But then I've had women come to me and pitch and then sit blankly and I'm like, a pitch does not mean it's a sure shot fund, right? At the end of the day, as VCs or a family office, we all care about returns. And what actually all of us care about our investment returning great returns on the dollar, right? Or rupee in this case. So obviously for us, returns matter. And so it's all about, in the end, the founder, the idea. But more than that, the ability to get up. Listen, if you're going to be a founder, you're going to get kicked down so many times. So many times. If you think it's going to be 100, times that by at least 8 more. And that's going to happen to you. So founder, as glamorous as it sounds right now, is a pretty hard, pardon my French, shitty place, all right? And so you really have to think about it. And as long as we know that founders have the ability to get up, that's what we're looking for in founders in general. But what Aarti said, I like that. You know, that as female investors, we're able to see a different angle, which I think is really needed. I mean, I invested in Clovia. They were selling lingerie. They sell bras. Now, in India, anybody who's bought bras knows the experience. Our mother buys it for us, or an old man sizes you up when you go to the store and says, oh, 32C, and gives you a bra, right? They changed that mold. And so that is why it was something that was really needed. So that those founders are solving a problem. You know, Tipsy Beauty is solving a problem.
Yeah, so, in fact, Kerevi, I was going to come to you because there is going to be a time, and it's coming very soon, when you're going to need funding. And are you prepared? And what is, I mean, you have two, I mean, of course, angel investor, but you have a venture capitalist there. What would you say to them if they, you know, you were pitching to them and saying that I need my Series A funding? And
I would definitely know all my numbers.
And you have done some things differently. So. Your numbers are good.
Yeah.
Your numbers are great.
I would definitely know them.
And
I
you've
would
done things differently as well.
Yes.
You have innovative products. I know that. They're quite different from, and you're also focused towards a completely different color palette, which works for us.
Yeah. So I think for us, anybody who I speak to, they say that innovation is something that we look at first. And I know that that's something we focused on. So I would definitely lead with that. And I think the heart of a business is its products. If you have a good product, you can figure out the rest. Marketing will be easier. Everything will be easier if you have the right product. So I think that, you know, kind of leading with that. And then, of course, showing the good things that have happened, but also the bad things that have happened and how we've learned from it and how we've moved on and grown is, I think, really important, because it's so important to accept a mistake that you make and learn from that. Because good things that happen, usually you have less learning from those because they just happen. But bad things, you have to figure out what happened and you have to figure out how to correct it and make sure it doesn't again. So I think those would be things that I would like to share with anybody who I was pitching to. And yeah.
No, Can I add one tip for Kerevi, because she's a young, budding entrepreneur. I think one place where a lot of women founders kind of miss out is we don't network enough, you know. I personally feel the best time to network as a founder is when you don't need the money, you know. We go out and seek advisors and investors when we need the money. But when you don't need the money, you go out, meet, be part of, you know, conferences like this, you know, go spend time with people when you don't have any agenda. That is something which we're really missing. That's something which men are very, very good at, whether it's their golf games or cigarette breaks or whatever it is. We don't have those things built in our culture, or, like, you know, just within ourselves, in our tribe, to do these things. So let's think of alternates to these golf games and cigarette breaks, you know. Yes, what can we do?
And not run to the kitchen and figure out the next meal and stuff like that.
Absolutely. So can we network now when you don't need the money?
So you need to join your new networking.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the good thing is, and I've seen life cycles in the ecosystem, right? Older shit, that's why, but whatever. So the thing is, I think time for founders like Kerevi is coming now. Okay, there was a time that people were raising money on saying the big stuff, and guys were good at that stuff, right? They were just throwing stuff out there, and people were catching it and saying, oh, that's great. I love it. She's sitting here and she's true to herself, right? You talked about, she's unapologetically inclusive. I love that. I love the fact that she's like, I'm learning from mistakes. I have made mistakes and I'm learning for it. And I think it's time for founders like this. And the good thing is, most females are like this. Female founders in general usually just set the expectations to a very realistic level, and I think it's our time.
I think female founders are definitely authentic, and that is what we've heard from all of you. And, you know, it is anticipated that in the next 5 years, the number of businesses owned and operated by women entrepreneurs is going to increase by 90%. And also by 2030, Indian women entrepreneurs might generate 150 to 170 million jobs. So any last thoughts before we wind up? Because I think we're just about 1 minute short.
You know, I just want to, the people from different nationalities sitting here, I just want to say something. I do understand that, you know, there are biases and there is discrimination and there is maybe a lot of uphill we need to climb. But we might just be the first generation which sees some semblance of gender parity, you know, and there is something extremely exciting about that. I know I'm super, super kicked about that. So despite all these challenges, like, you know, let's kind of move ahead and march ahead so that when our daughters, you know, hopefully don't have to be in boardrooms and pitch sessions where they face these biases. So I'm very, very happy and grateful to be part of this ecosystem today and how things are shaping for us.
Nice. Good to hear that. And we have to thank Female Quotient and Shelley for bringing this community together. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.